Starting from the two dots, the bottom of Mem Beis. So the Mishnah said one of the things that has to be gotten rid of because it's Chametz Nuksha was Tachshiti Nashim. So the Gemara explains that it doesn't mean the jewelry or the makeup because that's not Chametz, but rather it means the paste that they use to remove their hair. Like Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, that the girls that were young and they started growing bodily hair, that they wanted it to be removed. So the poor girls used lime to remove it, the richer girls used flour, and the B'nais Malachim, the princesses, the ones that were very rich, so they used Shemen Amar, which the Gemara explains one of two pshatim, either Shemen Amar is balsam, or it's oil that's made from owls that didn't get at least a third ripe. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda says that Amfiknon is this olive oil that's from owls that are not a third ripe, and the reason why people would put it on them is because it makes the flesh soft and makes the hair come out. Then the Gemara asks, if the Mishnah sums up and says a rule that anything that has grain in it has to be destroyed, has to be gotten rid of, so if that's the case, why did the Mishnah have to give all these examples? And the Gemara explains, in order that a person should recognize what these things are, to know that they might be problematic. And the Gemara brings a story that a person from Eretz Yisrael went to Bavel and he asked for a dip and they said, bring kutach. And he realized that he had meat with him and this dip must be there because he knew this from these Mishnayos what was in this kutach dip that Bavel had. So the Mishnah said, on both on Chametz Nuksha and Chametz Ruvis there will be a lav. So the Gemara wants to know who's that Tana that holds that these two will both have a lav. So the first Ma'alama Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav that it's a mayor. Because we have a Mishnah later on that Seir, which is dough, which is in the middle of the rising process, it's not fully Chametz yet, it's considered Chametz Nuksha. So the Mishnah says it has to be burnt. And then it continues and says you can feed it to your dog, and if someone eats it, he gets Malkus. So the Gemara says it's a Stira. If it has to be burnt, that means it's also Bana. If you feed it to the dog, that means it's Mutter Bana. So we said that it means like this. Seir Yisarov means at the level that it's already considered Seir, like we'll learn later on, according to a mayor, the Shitas, and according to a beauty, the Shitas, it has to be burnt. But a mayor's Seir, which is earlier on in the rising process, according to a beauty, is still Mutter Bana, and therefore may be fed to the dogs. But that very same one, according to a mayor, if one would eat it, it would be Chai Malkus. So we see, according to a mayor, that Chametz Nuksha is Chai Malkus, and if that's the case, Kol Shekein Chametz Haruvis would be Chai Malkus. Reb Nachman says that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, because we have a bris that on Chametz Gomer there's Karis. On Taruvis, Rabbi Eliezer says there's a lav, and the Chum say there's nothing. So we see from here that Rabbi Eliezer says Taruvis has Malkus. So we could say Kol Shekein Nuksha should have Malkus. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda did not want to say it's Rabbi Eliezer because he held that Taruvis is more Chomer, so maybe Dafka Taruvis gets Malkus, but not Nuksha. And the opposite, Rabbi Nachman didn't want to say it's Rabbi Meir because he held that Nuksha is more Chomer, so maybe Dafka Rabbi Meir said Nuksha gets Malkus, but not Taruvis. The Gemara brings a brisa to back the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because the brisa says Kol Machmetz Leislechelu comes to include Kutach Abavli Sheikh Ramadi Chaim Tzadim Vizei Sama Mitzri. I would think there's Karis for all these things. So on that it says Ki Kol Chametz Nichus. So only on Chametz Gomer is there Karis, but on Taruvis is only a lav. Now this brisa, who says Taruvis has a lav, must be Rabbi Eliezer. And in this brisa, it only mentions cases of Chametz Taruvis. It doesn't mention Nuksha. It's Mashma that Taruvis is more Chomer, like Rabbi Yehuda, and Dafka Taruvis would get Malkus, but Nuksha would take and not get Malkus. Then the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Eliezer, how does he know that Taruvis gets a lav? So presumably from the word Machmetzis. If that's the case, it should be Chayav Karis as well, because regarding Karis it says, Ki kol eichol Machmetzis v'nichrisa. So the Gemara says, no, that Machmetzis is used, like we said earlier in the Masechta, to learn that not only if it became Chometz on its own, but even if it needed something else to make it Chometz, nonetheless one's Chayav on it. If that's the case, you would say the same thing by the lav. So the Gemara and Echanami, the reason why we're marred by Taruvis by the lav is from the extra word kol. It says kol also by koris. Teretz is the kol by koris is coming to include nashim. And even though we know normally that nashim are chayv in all isurim just like men, but over here you would think that since it's a hekesh from achilas matzah to achilas chametz, and matzah is a mitzvah that says she's mangrama, so just like presumably women are part of a matzah, who are they to be part of from koris? That's why you need the kol. Now that you have the kol, so now we say it the opposite or way around. That Rav Elazar says, women are chayav to eat matzah midaraisa, even though it's mitzvah aseh she'is man gromah, because anybody who's chayav in chametz is chayav in achilas matzah. On that, the Gemara explains, why do we use the kol that's written by chametz to include women to the chiyuv of achilas chametz as opposed to including chametz haruvis? Because the kol is written by the eaters, kol oichol chametz, as opposed to what is being eaten. So it's more mistabel that we're being marbe more eaters than being marbe more types of food. And even though we have legabe chayrev, it says ki kol oichol chayrev, so it's written by the eaters, and nonetheless, the Brisa says, had it only said chayrev asher yakrev, I would only think that's the chayrev of karbonis. From the fact that it says on top of that mina behemoth that comes to marbe even kachim that is not right for a carbon like a baal mum, but how do you know even the chelav of chulin? So that we know from kol eichol chelav. So we're talking about the eaters, and nonetheless we're marbe food. So that says the Gemara, that's only over there because there's no eaters to be marbe. So then we're marbe food. But where there's eaters to be marbe, like by chametz, so then we're not going to skip that and instead be marbe another type of food, another type of chametz, which would be chametz haruvis. Then the Gemara asks, according to Rabbanon, that don't darshan kol, so how do they know that women are chayiv for kares for eating chametz? So the Gemara says, even though they don't darshan kol, but they darshan kichol. When it says both kichol, both words, then they do hold that it includes, and therefore it could include women. If so, like the Gemara, maybe according to Eliezer, it should be two separate ribuim. Kol itself is already a ribuy, and the key is a second ribuy, so one should be marba women, and the other one should be marba teruvis. Maybe you'll tell me that Eliezer doesn't make two separate drushes from ki and kol. It's not true, because with regard to the lav of sar batachdu, not burning chametz on the mizbeach, the Tana says, I would only think if he burns a whole kazayis. How do you know even if he burns mikzas, he's chayv? On that we said from the word kol. How do you know even if it's mixed into other things that haruvis he would still be chayiv because it says kichol? So we see he makes two separate choices, one from ki and one from kol. And this must be the sheet of Rabbi Yezu because Rabbi Yezu is the one who dashens kol. So the Gemara ends off with a kasha. Then Rabbi Vo says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, only so in the Torah we don't say heter mitzaraf le'isr, means the shear has to be from the isr itself. We don't use the heter food that's eaten together to complete the shear, with the exception of nazir, since the Torah says mishras, something that was soaked in wine, so it's mashra that the heter that was soaked in wine is mitzaraf to the isr. Ze'iri says, in addition to that, you also have the lava burning star on the mizbeach. So we said, like, who is that going like? Like Rabbi Yezu, who dashens kol, like we said before, and he understands that mitzaraf means that you take part of a shear of sa'ar together with something else, and it burned together to complete a kazayis, then you would be chayiv. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, why didn't he mention chametz as well? Rabbi Yezer holds by taruvus chametz yuchayiv, which is again heter mitzaraf le'isr. So on that, the Gemara says, anachanami. The reason why we're focusing on sa'ar bal taktiru is lafuki, another way of explaining, which is Abaye's way of explaining, that the ribui of mitzvah is that there's a haktarah for less than a kazayis. So therefore, when you're chayiv, it's not because the heter is mitzvah for iser, it's because the iser doesn't need a shear. Kamashulam, no, you need a kazayis, and the reason why he's chayiv is because of heter mitzvah for iser. On that, we asked, b'shar kol ha'tarah kula, you don't say heter mitzvah for iser. We have a Mishnah that says if you have like this cooked dish, like this broth, porridge, whatever it is, of chuma, and the spices in it, the garlic and the oil, are chulin. So since the ikar is truma, a tful yoyim, who could pass out truma, touches any part of it, the whole thing is possible. But the opposite way, if the mikveh itself was chulin, and the garlic and the oil was truma, so it were, if a tful yoyim touches, he only passes the part that he touches and not the rest. On that we asked, even the part that he touched, the chayr of the truma should be brought up to the chulin, and the whole thing should not become possible to the tful yoyim. On that, Rabbi Barachano answered that the reason why the chum is not bottle is because since if a zar eats the mixture, he would get malchus, so therefore it can't be bottle. Now, why would a zar get malchus for eating the mixture? It must be because hatam mitzaraf leiser. So we see hatam mitzaraf leiser is the raiser, so the Gemara says no. Maybe heter is not mitzaraf leiser, and what it means to say is if he eats a kezayis collectively, b'chdeach he was pas, meaning in four volumes of the whole, four eggs volume of the whole mixture, he gets a kezayis collectively of the iser, he would get malchus, and that's why it's not bottle. So the Gemara says, do you say that kezayis b'dei achilas pas is deraisa? If that's the case, why do the Rabbanon argue by teruvus chametz? So the Gemara says, mimanoshach. Elamai, you're going to say pshat is because of heter mitzvah for iser. So then again, how could the rabban argue by teruvas chametz? So says the Gemara, must be la'ilam, it's because of kazayas b'chdeyachlias pras. And Ava became, kutach abavi doesn't have a kazayas b'chdeyachlias pras. Why? Because if you eat it straight, that's not the normal way of eating it, and batal da'idei it's a kolodom. Elamai, he dips food into it, so then he's never going to get a kazayas b'chdeyachlias pras. On that we ask, from a Mishnah, it says that you have two pots, one was chulin, one was truma, and you have two mortar and pestles that have spices in it, one was chulin, one was truma. One fell into one fell into the other, so you could have a bimeko and say that the truma fell into the truma and the chulin fell into the chulin. Now, if a kezayis b'chdeyachlias pras is the raisa, then so then it's a suffix the raisa, how could you be bimeko? Must be kezayis b'chdeyachlias pras is not the raisa. And that the Gemara answers no, because the truma and spices is only the rabbanim, so that's why it's a suffix the rabbanim. Then we ask them another case, it says you have two boxes of grain. One chulin, one chuma, and then there's two piles, two sars. One of chulin, one of chuma. One fell into one, and the other one fell into the other. Again, you could say that the chuma fell into the chuma, and the chulin fell into the chulin. Over here, we're talking about grain, and nonetheless, for meko must be because b'zeichlius pras is not the rice. And that the Gemara answers, no, we're talking about chuma b'zmanazeh, and chuma b'zmanazeh is the rabbanon. Says the Gemara, is Mishnah's coming for, like we were saying until now, for Heter Mitzaref L'Iser? Don't we need it for a different thing to teach us the halakha of Tam Keker, that if some Iser gives Tam to the food, so it's like you have the actual Iser there, and therefore it's Aser? For example, if a Nazir, if you soak grapes in water, and the water gets the taste of the grapes, so now a Nazir cannot eat it. And from here, from Nazir, you can make a Kal V'chomer to other Yisurim, because Nazir, which has three kuas, number one, it's not an Isur forever, after 30 days, or whenever the period of Nazirus is, it will be over. Number two, it's not an Isur Anar. Number three, there is a way to get a heter for the Isur, it could be Matar his nether. And nonetheless, we say Tam Kikir, so Kalayim, which in all three things, it's more Chomer, it's also forever, it's also Banar, and there's no heter for the Isur. So for sure, Tam Kikir. And even Arla, which doesn't have all three, because there is a heter after 3 years, but nonetheless it has at least two of the three, so therefore, again, you would have a Kal V'chomer to say Tam Keker. So at bottom line, we see that Mishnah's calls for Tam Keker, not for Heter Mitzvah Flitzer. On that, the Gemara answers, that's the Shita of the Rabbana. However, Rabbi Yochanan, who said that it was going for Heter Mitzvah Flitzer, he was going like the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. So we said, where do we know that Rabbi Kiva holds Heter Mitzvah Flitzer? If it's from that which Rabbi Kiva says that a Nazir, who soaked his bread in wine, and that you could be a Mitzvah of a Kezayis, he's Chayiv, who said Mitzvah means a Kezayis of wine plus bread, maybe it means to collect the Kezayis of the wine throughout the bread. And if you want to say, what's the Chiddush of that? The Chiddush is, even though the wine is not by itself, it's only mixed into the bread, nonetheless you're still Chayiv for it. The Teretz is no, because we have a Brisa that says explicitly that a Nazir who soaks the bread in wine and there's a Kezayis between the bread and the wine, he, according to Rabbi Kiva, he's Chayiv. So we see Heter Mitzvah L'Iser by Nazir according to Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara according to Rabbi Kiva, so how does he know Tam Ke'ikr? So the Gemara says he learns it from Basa V'Cholov. The whole Iser Basa V'Cholov is that what they gave Tam into each other, and it's also, so we see that the Torah answers even Tam. The Rabbanan say you can't learn from Basa V'Cholov because Basa V'Cholov is a Chiddush. And the Chiddush is not that each one by itself is mutter and when you mix them together it's also, because that we find other places. We find that by Kalayim. Rather, the Chiddush is that if you soak the milk and the meat together, meat the rice the whole day, it's not going to be Aser. If you cook them, it's Aser. So that's a Chiddush, and therefore you can't learn from there to anywhere else. Rabbi Kiva will answer, you and a Chinami, you can't learn from Basa V'Cholov because it's a Chiddush. Rather, you learn it from the parsha of Giyuli Nakhlim, where the Torah said after Mechemes Midyan that they had a kasher of the pots that they captured from the Goyim. Now, the food that's in there, in the walls of the pots, that's just giving the taste, and nonetheless you have to kasher. It must be the Tam Ke'ikr. Rabbanan say you can't learn from there either, because it's also a Chiddush, because normally we learn from the parsha of Nevela that anything that's nice and tam b'gam, that the taste that it gives is to the detriment of the food that it gave the taste to, then it's mutter. Over here, even though the bleas that are coming out of the pot are nice and tam b'gam, nonetheless the Torah answered them. On that, Rabbi Kiva will answer, like Rabbi Chiya b'Rei de Rav Huna, that which the Torah said you have to kasher the pots is only a pot that was used on that day, so it's not yet nice and tam b'gam. The Rabbani will say back, no, even on that day, it's impossible that, inevitable that it's not at least a little bit pagan, makes it at least a little bit worse, and therefore it would still be a Chiddush. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, since it's from that day, it's not considered nice and tam of gam. Then the Gemara asks, the same way that according to the Rabbanon, that Mishras by Nazar teaches us to call out Terakulo Tam Kikr. So according to Rabbi Kiva, that Mishras is coming to say Hetem Mitzvah Lister. Why is it Dafka by Nazar? Why don't we say from here it should be a source or call out Terakulo that you say Hetem Mitzvah Lister? So the Gemara answers because Nazar and Chatos are Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Kecha. The Torah said the same Chiddush of Hetem Mitzvah Lister twice, and since it said it twice, you can't learn from there to anywhere else. Nazar is like we just got finished saying, and Chatos because it says Kalashi Yigubim Sari Yiftosh, which teaches us that any other meat that touches and absorbs, like it says, bivsara, from the meat of kachim, so it, from the basar of a karmakatas, it gets the same halachas as the meat that it absorbed from, meaning if the katas is possible, so the other meat will become possible as well, and if the katas is kosher, we'll get all the chumras that it has to be in the azara, dafka only for a day and a night, dafka by zechikaguna, and so on. The Rabbanon will answer you that Nazir and Chatas are not Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Kecha because they're both needed. One is talking about Hetem Mitzvah Lister, the other one is talking about Tam Kikr, so there's two different things. Whereas according to Rabbi Kiva, they're both talking about Hetem Mitzvah Lister, and Enechanami, had we just written Chatas, you wouldn't know Nazir because you can't learn Chulun from Kachim, but the opposite, you could just write Nazir and you would know Kachim and Chatas. So from the fact that the Torah are both, it's Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Kecha, and that's why you can't learn from here to call out Torah Kula. Then the Gemara finishes off that Rabbi Ashi asked Rav Kahana. We have a brice that says, Kol Asher Yasa Migevin Ayayin, that teaches us that all the different parts of that are also to another, the wine, the grapes, the peels and pits, and so on, are all Mitzarev. So why do you need that? If even Heter is Mitzarev, Lister, according to Rav Akiva, Kol Shkein, the different parts of Isra are Mitzarev. So the Gemara answers, when do we say Heter Mitzarev, Lister, only if you eat it simultaneously, together? That we're saying that the different parts of Isra Mitzarev means even if you eat them one after the other, there's still Mitzarev to complete a shir that the Nazar should be chayav for eating a gezayas of all of them collectively. The next Mishnah says that you have a piece of dough that's stuck in the cracks, the crevices of a mixing bowl and kneading bowl. So if it's a gezayas in one place, then he has to get rid of it. Otherwise, he doesn't have to get rid of its bottle. So to the gavei tumah, if you're makbid on it, it's chaitzitz. If you're not makbid on it, you let it stay there, so then it becomes part of the bowl, it's bottle to the bowl. So the Gemara says, rebuked in the name of Shmuel, that which we say, that which we say that you don't have to get rid of it, you do have to get rid of that, that's only in the place that it's not helping contain the contents of the bowl. But where it's helping contain the contents of the bowl, even if it's a gezayis, you still don't have to get rid of it. According to this lashon, that's mashma, that if it's less than a gezayis, then even where it's not helping to hold in the contents of the bowl, nonetheless, you still don't have to get rid of it. Then the Gemara brings a second lashon that said l'chumra. That which we said less than a gezayis, you don't have to get rid of it, says Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, that's only where it's helping hold in the contents. But from Mokum, that it's not helping hold in the contents, even less than a gezayis has to be gotten rid of. And according to this lashon, that's mashma, that if it's a gezayis, even if it's b'makom asur l'chazak, it's helping hold in the contents, nonetheless, you still have to get rid of it. The Gemara brings two brises, one brise is like the first lashon, and one brise is like the second lashon. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, you have a steer in brises, so what are you going to do? So Rav Huna wanted to say that it's a steer in brises, so therefore you have to ignore the first brise of the more lenient brise because of the second brise that's more chamer. Rav Yosef said, no, it's a machlokes tanaim. Because we have a bite that says, if you have bread that became moldy, you have to get rid of it, because even though you can't eat it, you could still grind it down and use it to make other doughs into chametz. That says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that's only if you're going to eat it, or you're going to use it at least to make other doughs chametz. But if you take a piece of yeast, a piece of sourdough, and you make it into a cushion, something to sit on, so then it becomes bottle automatically. From the fact that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that mashma that the Tanna Kamma disagrees, and also even if you're miyachid it, it doesn't become batal. So to over here, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, even if it's a kezayis, it can become batal to the bowl. Mashaykin, according to the Tanna Kamma, if it's a kezayis, it cannot become batal to the bowl. Says Abaye, that's good to answer the stira in if you have to get rid of the kezayis or not. But what about the stira in less than a kezayis? How are you going to explain that? Therefore, says Abaye a little bit differently. Everything is going like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that if it's needed, if it becomes part of the bowl, it could be brought to the bowl. But there's really three parts of the bowl, not two. The bottom of the bowl where it helps hold in the liquid, then even a kezayis is bottle. The middle of the bowl where it helps with the kneading, but it's not actually holding in the liquid, so a kezias is not bottle, but less than a kezias is bottle, where it's not even helping the kneading, so then even less than a kezias is not bottle. And the first brisa was talking about the bottom and the middle, and the second brisa is talking about the middle and the top. On that, the Gemara explains, that which we said, shalevim gohim nisri, you have to get rid of, doesn't only mean the back side of the walls of the bowl, but even the top higher than the place where you need, you don't have to get you have to get rid of, even less than a kezias. And the Gemara explains what the chiddush is. You might think that sometimes, as you're kneading, maybe it will ride all the way up, and therefore it should be considered like makom lishur kamashlon, that you don't say that. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rava that we pass like Rav Shimon Lazar. On that, the Gemara asked a stira, because Rav Yitzchak Barashi said in the name of Rav that by a kaifa sar, that block of sar that we spoke about before, you made into a cushion. He says the only way it's bottle is if you cover it over with tit, with dirt. But otherwise, it's not bottle. So we see, don't pass like Rav Shimon Lazar. So Gemara said, Adacharam, it's a stira, machoik is amaroim, what Rav held. Then a second Lashon, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that we don't pass like Rav Shimon Lazar. And according to that Lashon, so then that's very good. That's Rav Lashitazi, because Rav Yitzchak Barashi said in the name of Rav, like we said before, that by a kaifasar, it's only bottle once you cover it over. Kazman, you don't cover it over, it's not bottle. Then Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, let's say you have two half zasim stuck into two parts of the bowl, and there's a string of dough connecting them. So if you could pull it by the string, and both halves will come out, so then they combine to be a kezias, and they have to be gotten rid of. Otherwise, they don't combine. Says Ula, that which we say they don't combine, that's only when they're stuck in a bowl, because then they're not going to come together. But if you have two half zasim in a house, you have to get rid of them, because maybe as you're cleaning, as you're sweeping the house, they'll gather together and become a kezias. On that, the Gemara had a shaila. What happens if one's on the bottom floor and one's on the upper floor? Do you have to be chayshed over there that they may come together? And what about a house and then out and outside in the achsadra, in the gazebo that's attached to the house? And what about a third case, if you have two rooms or two houses connected to each other, are you chayshed that they'll get combined from one to the other? And the Gemara says, on all these shaylas, teiku. Gemara brings advice. If you have bread that became moldy, people won't eat it anymore. However, a dog will eat it. So as far as tum is concerned, it's still matam tumas leichlin. But as far as destroying, burning Erev Pesach, chuma tamei, with chuma taira, once it's not edible anymore by people, there is no issur of being matam, and you can burn the chuma taira together with the chuma tamei. Rav Nosson says, even legabe tumah, once it's not edible by people, it's no longer matame. On that, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a rule in Tahara is that anything that was designated to be human food, it retains its tumah until it loses the status of food that even a dog won't eat it. That Mishnah must not be going like Rav Nosson. Then we quote another brisa. The brisa says that you have a bowl that they use for tanning hides. So if you put flour in that bowl, if it was there for less than 3 days, it's still edible. You have to get rid of it. If it's there for more than 3 days, so then it's no longer considered edible. You don't have to get rid of it. On that, says Rav Nosson, that's only if the hides weren't in there at the same time as the flour. But if the hides were there, then no matter what, you don't have to get rid of it. And the Gemara explains that means that even if it's there for one little moment, because it already becomes disgusting. And Rava says on that this Rav Nosson we paskin like. That which is saved in the Mishnah says that tum is the same thing as chometz on Pesach. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean it's the same thing? Chometz is tali if it's a gezias or less than a gezias. Tum, we said, if it's tali if you're makbid or not makbid. So at first the Gemara wanted to say that Enechanami, what the Mishnah means to say is tum is not the same. On that, Abai asks, what do you mean Tumah is not the same? The Mishnah says, V'chein l'inyin Tumah, that they are the same. Rather, says Abai, what it means is as follows. If you have food that's less than the shear to be metame, and you want to be mitzarif to complete the shear, that this dough that's stuck in the crevices of the bowl, so on Pesach, it's depending if it has a kezias, since the iser makes you get rid of it, therefore it's not part of the bowl, and therefore it's considered food to be mitzarif to complete the shear of Tumah, less than a kezias, which is bottle, will not be mistarif. The rest of the year, it's not totally on the shear, but rather if you're makbid or not makbid. On that, Rabbi asks, that's very nice lahalacha, but in the Mishnah said, le'inyin, if it's chaitzitz or not if it's mistarif or not. Therefore, Rabbi said, we're talking about that you want to take the bowl to the mikveh. The bowl was tamei, you want to take it to the mikveh. So is the dough there a chatzitz or not? So on Pesach, because a kezias is also a kezias is chaytzis no matter what, less than a kezias is not chaytzis, the rest of the year, then it's not totally in kezias or not, it's totally if you're makbid or not. On that, the Gemara, Rav Papa asked that again. The Mishnah said le'inyan tum. According to this pshat, it should say le'inyan tahara, as far as becoming Torah is concerned. So rather, says Rav Papa, the opposite way. It's talking about that there was tumah that touched not the bowl itself, but rather the dough that was stuck in the crevice. So if it's bottled to the bowl, so then it's as if it touched the bowl itself, the bowl would be tummy. If it's not bottled to the bowl, it's a separate entity, so it serves as a barrier to protect the bowl from becoming tummy. So on Pesach, if it's the gezayis, it's chaytzeitz. If it's less than the gezayis, it's not chaytzeitz. The rest of the year, it's only if you're makbid or not. The next mission says, what happens if you have a dough that something's wrong with the dough and therefore it doesn't show the simonim of rising? So how do you know if it becomes chametz or not? So if you have another dough that was made similarly at the same time, once the second dough starts to become chametz, the first dough is also as well. What happens if you don't have another dough? So says the Gemara, Rav Avohu says, in the name of Reish Lakish, that the shear of a person walking 1 mil, which is the distance from Migdol Nunya to Tveya, then you have to get rid of the dough. Matt the Gemara brings a memo from Rav Avohu in the name of Shimon ben Lakish that if a person wants to go and find someone to knead a dough for him b'tahara, or he's traveling and he's looking for a place to daven with a minion, or he's looking for water to wash his hands, he has to travel up to 4 million to go find these things. That says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, it wasn't said by Rav Avohu, rather it was said by Avohu, and he added a fourth thing, that which the Mishnah says, that all the skins that are soft enough that the Mishnah Chulin considers they have a lacha like meat and like oichlin, once they are tanned or someone walks on them the shear that is enough to tan it, then they're no longer considered oichel and they would no longer be tamei. And on that we said the shear is that he walked on it the shear of 4 mil. That which we said that a person who's traveling has to go 4 mil, that's only if he's going forward 4 mil, so he's not going out of his way. But backwards, he doesn't even have to go a mil. But on that, says Reb Acha, a mil he doesn't have to go, but less than a mil, even backwards, out of his way, he has to go. The next Mishnah discusses if a person was making a dough betumah. So how do you separate challah from the dough on Pesach? Because as soon as he separates challah, challah that's tummy can't be eaten. If that's the case, he can't bake it on Yom Tov because it's not Letzarech Yom Tov. So Eliezer says, the Eitzah is, don't be mafresh the challah until after you bake it. But Mesera says, you be mafresh the challah and you put it into cold water, that will stop it from becoming chametz. Rabbi Yeshua says, let it become chametz. This is not chametz that you're muzer on, because you're only chayav on your own chametz. Once you separate it, it's not yours anymore. So the Gemara wanted to say that the machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, is in taivas hanah. The hanah you have, that you can give it to whichever kind you want, is that considered like you own the chametz or not? Rabbi Eliezer holds it is, so therefore you can't just let the chametz sit and become chametz. The dough sit and become chametz, whereas Rabbi Yeshua holds that taivas hanah is not mamon, it's not called an ownership, and therefore you could just let it sit there because it's not yours anyway. And that the Gemara says no. The machlokes is not, everybody holds that taivas hanah is not mamon. The machlokes is in hayil, meaning to say, Rabbi Eliezer holds since potentially you could ask and take away the hafrasha by going to a chacham, so therefore it's still considered yours, and that's why you have to bake it. Mashiach Rabbi Yeshua says you don't say hayil. The Gemara brings a machlokes. If someone bakes out in Yom Tov afternoon after he already is not planning on eating anymore, so it's, he baked for a weekday. So Rav Chisda says he gets malchus because you don't say hayol that in case guests would come it would be right for Yom Tov. Therefore, he should not. Therefore, it's considered that it's right for Yom Tov. Whereas Rabbi says that there's no malchus because you do say hayol. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi asks, according to Rav Chisda, how do you bake when Yom Tov is a Friday? How do you bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos? So on that the Gemara said because of the Erev Tashlin. So what does that mean because of the Erev Tashlin? If there's an Issa Deraisa to bake from Yom Tov to the next day, so then what does an Erev Tashlin help? So the Gemara explains that Mid Deraisa Tzorchei Shabbos, the needs for Shabbos may be done on Yom Tov. It's only also Mid Rabbanan and Gzeira that if you bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you may bake from Yom Tov to Chol. Once you made an Erev Tashlin, that serves as a hacker, so there's no longer a Gzeira. Then the Gemara asks, there's a Mishnah that says that a behema that is deathly ill, it's mesukun, so you're afraid it might die and you might lose it. So you can't shecht it on Yom Tov afternoon unless you're able to eat a kezayis or mit before the night. So it's mashma as long as you're able to, even if you don't eat. So bishlam, if you say hayol, then it's very good, because you could have eaten it. But if you don't say hayol, how do you explain it? So we said, no, what the Mishnah means, according to the Manav, you don't say hayol, is that you will actually eat a kezayis from it, because since you know that otherwise you'll lose your thing, you'll make sure to eat a kezayis from it. Then we ask that the lechem aponim, it says regarding the lechem aponim, that normally it was eaten on the ninth day, because it was baked on Erev Shabbos, and it was eaten the following Shabbos, which is the ninth day. If Erev Shabbos was Yom Tov, so then it was eaten on the tenth day. If it was Rosh Hashanah, so then that was Thursday and Friday, so then it was baked on Wednesday, and it was eaten on the 11th day. So if you hold that Tzarchei Shabbos are Nasa B'Yom Tov, so why can't you, even if Yom Tov is Erev Shabbos, why can't you bake it on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, the rule is that Shavuos Kreiv Hitiru, Shavuos Rechayk Lo Hitiru. Even though we said Midah Rabbanan, it's only an Issa Rabbanan to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. In the Mikdash, we're not going to Shavuos, but that's only a Shavuos that's Negev for right away. What's Negev for next week, it's far away, so on that they weren't Matir. Says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that baking of the Lechem upon him is the Yom Tov, but it's not the Yom Kippur. What are you going to say? Teretz is, he disagrees with this principle that we just said. He holds that even the Shavuos Rechayka, they were Matir. Then the Gemara asks, from similar case by the lechem, by the Shtei Lechem, which was eaten on Shavuos. So normally it was eaten on the second day because it was baked Erev Yom Tov and eaten the next day on Yom Tov, on Shavuos. But if Erev Yom Tov was Shabbos, so then it was eaten on the third day because it was baked Erev Shabbos and then eaten on the third day. So over here as well, if you hold that you could bake from Yom Tov to Shabbos, Kol Shekein you could be able to bake from Yom Tov morning till later on Yom Tov, so why don't you bake it on Yom Tov itself? So on that the Gemara says, the reason why you don't bake karbonis on Yom Tov is because the Torah says lachem, with regard to the pasuk that's matar eichon nefesh, that teaches us lachem v'loy l'gavaya, only for your own needs, but not what you need for gavaya, not for what you need for kachim. If that's the case, what's pshat in Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who says the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Naskan, that you could bake on Yom Tov? Teretz is, he holds like Avasho, who doesn't dash on lachem v'loy l'gavaya, rather he uses lachem to say, for you, klayosov v'loy l'nachem, and not for goyim. Going back to Hayol, so Rabbi Chista sent a kasha to Rabba, that we have a Mishnah in Makis that says a person could plow in the field and be over 8 lavin at the same time. Because he's plowing with the shor v'chamor, that's kalai behema, and the shor and the chamor are both hektish, so that's the lav of me'ilah and doing avodah with karbonos, that's 2 and 3. And he was plowing to help climb grow, that's number 4, and it was Shemitah, that's number 5. Happened to be Yom Tov is number 6, and it was a place that was Tameh, and the person who was plowing was a Kohen and Nazir, so that's 7 and 8. Now, if you say Hayol, so why are you chai for plowing on Yom Tov? Let us say that if he had a bird that was shechted that needs the dirt for Kisi Adam, it would have been Mutter. So now, too, he shouldn't get Malkus for it. So in that, the Gemara wanted to answer that we're talking about clumps of dirt, so it's not right for Kisi Adam. Says the Gemara, who cares? You could grind it up. So says the Gemara, no, because you're not allowed to grind on Yom Tov. But says the Gemara, you could still grind it Kilach or Yad, which Midaraisa is Mutter, so that should be enough not to get Malkus Midaraisa. So then the Gemara wanted to say that we're not talking about that it's dirt, but rather it's a rock. If that's the case, then how are you planting there? So the Gemara wanted to say that it's a rock on top and dirt underneath. But then the problem is, if that's the case, then Vaita, you should have oil because of the dirt underneath. So then the Gemara attempted to say that we're talking about it was muddy. And that's not right for Kisei Adam. So then the Gemara says, but it's not plantable there either. So the Gemara finally says that we're talking about moist soil. So as far as planting is concerned, you could plant there. But as far as Kisei Adam, the more you're going to play around with it, handle with it, the more it's going to get stuck together. So therefore, it's not right for Kisei Adam because it doesn't clump up into one piece as opposed to being separate particles. Then we ask them another case. It says someone who cooks a gira nasha in milk on Yom Tov and he eats it gets 5 sets of malchus. So the 5 sets are because you're cooking on Yom Tov Shalei L'Tzarech because it's also to eat, and you're eating gira nasha, and you're cooking basar v'chalav, and you're eating basar v'chalav, and you lit a fire on Yom Tov Shalei L'Tzarech because now that you cook Shalei L'Tzarech, so the kindling of the fire was also Shalei L'Tzarech. But if you say Hayol, why do you have the 5th one? Hayol, that you could have used that fire for a pot that's mutter, so then he should not get malchus through it. So the Gemara says, Enechanami, the 5th one is not for Havara, but rather for eating Gid Anasha of Nevela, because we'll say that it was a Nevela as well. On that, the Gemara says, no, you can't say that, because Rav Chiya has a Braisa that there's 2 Malkus for the Achila, and 3 for the cooking, not like the way we're saying now, that there would be 3 for the Achila and 2 for the cooking. So the Gemara says, Enechanami, rather the 5th Malkus is because the wood that was used was Muktzah wood. So on that, the Gemara says, but Muksa is not the rice. So the Gemara says, yes, there is a shita that Muksa is the rice, because it says, v'chinu as asher viu, that the things have to be prepared from beforehand. This is
in the Parsha Ramon that it has to be prepared from before Shabbos to Tzara Shabbos. And once the Torah says that things have to be prepared, so then it goes into the cloud of Vaisasa Kamalacha, so it would be Alav, there would be Malchus for it. So on that, the Gemara asks two questions. Number one, this is going to answer up Rabba. Rabba the Shitasa was asked, what happens about are you allowed to bring a carbon tamid from Mukta, let's say it was grazing out in the field, so it wasn't prepared from before, are you allowed to use it for a carbon tamid? And he answered him, that the Pasuk says with regard to the carbon tamid, and each word tells us different halachas. The set tells us that it has to be a set that could be either a zakar and a kever, not a bachar. Achas means it has to be an individual, not from a set of 10, which means it can't be ma'isa behema. Minamitzayim means only some sheep, not all sheep, meaning it has to be dafka of yearling, but once it's in the 13th month, even though it's not yet a nile, it's already possible for being any carbon that needs a set. Minamitzayim is coming to tell us that it has to be that there was 200 of heter versus the one of iser, which teaches us that Arla and Klai HaKerem is bottle 1 and 200. Mimashki Yisrael says that it has to be something that it's mutter for a yid to eat, which comes to exclude, let's say, tevel, something that a yid is not allowed to eat. However, the Brisa finishes off by saying, but muktzah he could bring. Now, what's the difference between muktzah and tevel? So the way the Gemara explains is because muktzah is an isser in the goof of the thing. Tevel is an isser in the food itself, whereas muktzah is extrinsic. It's the Shabbos that's asring. And on that, the Gemara says, though, if they're both derisa, it wouldn't make a difference. Must be the real reason is because tevel is an isser derisa, whereas this is only an isser derabanan. That's kasha number one. Furthermore, we know there's a concept, as far as Shabbos is concerned, that if a person does multiple melachos, there would be multiple chiyuvim. However, the Gabi Yantiv, if a person does multiple melachos, there would only be one chiyuv. So how can you have separate chiyuvim on Yantiv, one for cooking on Yantiv and one for muktzah on Yantiv? So Rabbi Gemara says that the fifth one is malchus for, because the wood came from an Asherah tree, another Dezara tree. And the Isser is, La Yibach Biyancha Me'umim Menacherim. In fact, if that's the case, you should have a sixth set of Malkus as well, because it also says regarding the Avodah Zarah, Le'isavi Tayeva B'Secha. So rather, says the Gemara, final shot, that it's talking about that he burnt wood of Hektish, and the Lav is, Le'isazin Kel Hashem L'Kecho, that you can't destroy things that belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things that are Kedish, the same way that you destroy Avodah Zarah. Then the Gemara wanted to say that the machlokes of Chizkiya and Rabbah, if you say her or not, is really the machlokes of our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer, who said you could bake it, is because you say hayo, and therefore even though one of the breads is going to end up being challah, but since each and every one of them is roi, so therefore you say hayo. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you do not say hayo. And that says Rabbi Papa, no comparison. Because maybe even Rabbi Yezer, who says Hayol in our Mishnah, that's only because when you put into the oven, each and every one of them is right for him. But in the case of Rabbah, where you baked and you're not going to eat anymore, it's right for someone else, for a guest that potentially can come. Maybe for that you don't say Hayol. And the opposite as well. Maybe even Rabbi Shua in the Mishnah who doesn't say Hayol is because you know that one of them for sure is not going to be eaten at all. Masha Enkein, over here, that it might every one of them end up being eaten by at least by guests, so maybe even Rabbi Shua agrees that you do say hayo. Then the Gemara says that the same shot was said over that that the machlokes of Eliezer Rabbi Shua in hayo was said over in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah liked it, and Rabbi Zeira didn't accept it. So they asked Rabbi Zeira, why didn't he accept it? So he said, because we have a brisa that Rabbi Eliezer was asked, according to you, if you let him bake it, they're going to be over like Sasekom Malacha, and he didn't answer. If the pshat in Rabbi Eliezer is that because of Hayo, why didn't he just answer that I hold of Hayo? So on that, the Gemara answered back, we have another b'risa that Rabbi Eliezer asked Rabbi Shua, according to you, you're over chametz, ba'yiro ba'yamotze. And also in the b'risa, there's no answer. You can't say that he didn't have an answer because we already said it from the Mishnah. There's an answer. This is not chametz that belongs to you, so you're not over by Rav Baimatzi. So what must you say? That even though he didn't answer over here, he answered somewhere else. So to going back to the other b'risa, even though Rabbi Yezza didn't answer that I hold over here, maybe he answered it somewhere else. But it's not a right that's not pshat in Rabbi Yezza. Then the Gemara brings a b'risa that ready paskins like Rabbi Yezza that you bake it and then you separate challah afterwards. Rabbi Yitzchak passing like Ben Beseder that you put it into cold water. Then the Gemara says, discusses how much dough could you make at one time to make sure that it does, that it's not too much that it shouldn't become chametz. So Shmuel ben Eshar Be'echem Be'breka says if it's wheat 2 kav, if it's barley 3 kav. Rav Nosson says the exact opposite. That, on that, the Gemara asks, we have another Baisa that Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshar Be'echem Be'breka says wheat 3 kav and barley 4 kav. So is it 2 and 3 or 3 and 4? So the Gemara says it depends. If it's good quality wheat, then it's 2 and 3. If it's poor quality, then it's 3 and 4. Says Rav Papa, we see from here that the difference between good quality wheat and poor quality wheat is much more than the difference between good barley and poor barley, because by wheat it lost a third, whereas by barley it only lost a quarter. Then the Gemara, going back to our original Shaila, Rav said that the shear that one should bake on Pesach, maximum shear, is the kav that they use in this place, Mlugna, and that's also the shear of challah, the minimum size dough to be chayv in challah. So on that, the Gemara asks, isn't the shear not 1 kav, but a kav and a quarter plus a drop more? So the Gemara says, yeah, but the kav of Mlugna is a big kav, which is the size of a kav and a quarter of a regular kav, which is the shear of challah. Then Rabbi Yosi said, our women have a minhag that they don't bake more than 3 lug, which is a half a kav at a time, which is 3/4 of a kav at a time. So on that, if I asked, that's you, what are you trying to do? Be machmer l'gabei chametz, but on the other hand, it's a kula, because now you're losing out that you're not able to separate challah. So on that, the Gemara answered, yes, you could separate challah, because we pass them like Rabbi Yosi. The Rabbi Yosi says that after you take it out of the oven, if you put it into the same basket, that could be mitzvah, and at that point in time, it will combine to have a shir challah. And Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. On that, he asked, didn't Rabbi Shuvan Levi say that's only if the loaves are stuck to each other in a way that if you pull from one, it will slap from the other? But if they're separate loaves, then the sal is not mitzvah of them. So on that, he answered, but however, Rabbi Chanina disagreed. Rabbi Chanina said, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's separate loaves. Rabbi Yirmiyahu had a shayla, does the kli have to have an inside? What happens if it was a flat tray that didn't have a lip around it and there's no inside? Is that mitzaref or not? The Gemara ends off with a teku. Then the Gemara brings up Baisa, 3 sheets. Rabbi Yehuda says, like we said before, that the basket is mitzaref. Rabbi Yeshua says that if they're baked in the oven at the same time, the oven is mitzaref them to a shear. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the only way that they're mitzaref is if the loaves are connected to each other in a way that they're biting each other, that if you slap one, it will pull from the other one. The next Mishnah on Gamliel says, 3 women could bake at the same time, even though they're using the same oven, and we're not afraid that while 2 are waiting for the third one, their dough is going to end up becoming chametz. The chametz say, no, you should not do that. Rather, if you should have a rotation that each one is holding by a different stage. One of them is kneading, one of them is shaping, and one of them is baking. On that, says Rabbi Akiva, you can't compare. Not all ovens are the same, not all women are the same, not all wood is the same. The only rule is that if it starts swelling, it starts beginning the chimutz process, so you should pat it down with cold water to stop it. So Gemara brings a braisa to explain that shita of the chachamim. What happens is the first one starts kneading. As soon as she finishes, she starts shaping, and the second one begins kneading. When they finish, so then the first one begins baking, the second one begins shaping, and the third one begins kneading, and then they continue through the cycle. Once the second one, the third one finishes baking, she goes back to the kneading, and they constantly go through the cycle. Because as long as the dough is being worked, it won't become tuchametz. That which Rabbi Akiva said, not everything is the same. So the Gemara quotes a braisa. Rabbi Akiva asked Rabbi Gamliel, are we talking about women who work fast, or are we talking about women who don't work fast? Are we talking about wood that's moist and doesn't cook as fast, or are we talking about dry wood? Are we talking about a very hot oven, or an oven that's not as hot? So it must be that there's no standards, there's no rules. The only thing you could say is that if it starts rising, then you should hit it with cold water to stop the chimus process. The next mission says when dough is in the rising process and it hits the level that we spoke about before, that's called sear, and it has to be burnt. But at that point in time, it's chametz nukshin. If the person eats it, he's potter. Once it hits the level that's called siduk, so then it has to be burnt, and if someone eats it, he's chayv karas. What's considered sear? That it has 2 cracks, like the horns, the antennae of grasshoppers. Siduk is that there's many cracks. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim say that in both of these cases are considered siduk, and there would be a chi of karis. The seer that's considered chametz nuksha is before it has any cracks, but just that it started turning pale. Then the Gemara quotes a braisa that says the same 2 opinions, but the chacham over here, it names as Reb Meir, And the opinion of Reb Yehuda, it calls the Chacham over here. After Reb Yehuda's opinion, it says, Zevesel ha'ech lechayiv koris. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean ha'ech lechayiv koris? Seir, we just said, if you eat it, it's potter. That's what we said in the Mishnah. So we said, Zevesel means like this. Both two stages of Reb Yehuda, according to Remeir, he holds that both of them are considered siduk, and therefore both of them, according to Remeir, would be chayiv koris. Rava says, what pshat in Remeir that even the two cracks, like the antennae of grasshoppers, is already considered chametz? Because every crack above, that means internally there must be many cracks, and therefore it's already considered chametz. The next mishnah says that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So three sheets. Remeir says, get rid of everything before Shabbos. Chametz, you can get rid of everything on Shabbos in the proper time. Rav Elazar, Rav Sadek says, Truma should be gotten rid of before Shabbos, whereas Chula could be gotten rid of on Shabbos. The Gemara brings a b'risa that Rav Elazar ben Tzadok said a story that one time he was with his father in Yavne. The 14th of Pesach ended up being on a Shabbos, and Rav Gamliel sent his memuna, his appointee out, to tell everybody to go. It's the time to be mevarach chametz. So we see from here that you're mevarach chametz not erev Shabbos, but rather on Shabbos itself. Next Mishnah: someone is going to shechit his karban Pesach, or to give a bris milah to his son, or to eat a suda's mitzvah, for example, the suda to celebrate a kedushin in erusin. So, and then he remembered that he left chametz at his house. So if he has enough time to go back and burn it and go back and do his mitzvah, so then he should do so. Otherwise, he should just rely on being mevatalit. If he's going to save people from goyim, from an overflowing river, from bandits, from a fire, from buildings collapsing, so then no matter what, don't turn around, be mevatalit. If he's going to spend time somewhere else, which is for a dvar rishos, just to make an erev chumen, to do something just for his own pleasure, so then he has to go back regardless. Similarly, if someone's leaving Yerushalayim and he remembers that he's carrying the meat of Kachem Kalim, which once it leaves Yerushalayim, it becomes possible, it has to be burnt. So if he passed the area of Tzayfim, which is the area where he can see from there Machem HaMikdash, so he has to turn around and burn it. And so once he passed that area, he doesn't have to turn around, he burns it where he is. Otherwise, he has to turn around and burn it in front of Harabais. And he uses the wood from the base of Mikdash. How much does he have to turn back for? So Remeir said, both by chametz and by kachem, the shear is a kebeya. Reb Yehuda says, both the shear is a kezayas. The chacham say, by kachem, the shear is a kezayas. Whereas by chametz, the shear is a kebeya. That which we said, that a sudas erisin is a sudas mitzvah, we have a brisa that says, someone who's going to eat a sudas erisin, he has to turn around because it's considered a double rishus. So Reb Yehuda said, it's a machoikis. Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda holds that an erusin is a sudas rishos, whereas Reb Yosi holds it's a sudas mitzvah. Then, now that Reb Chista, says the Gemara, explained that that's by the second suda that they ate, which is after the erusin, the chassan used to send presents to the kala in her father's house, and then they made a second suda. That's where the machlokes is. But by the first suda, everybody agrees that it's a sudas mitzvah. So then, you could say that both are the opinion of Reb Yehuda. The Mishnah that says it's a sudas mitzvah talking about the first suda. The Brisa that says not a sudas mitzvah talking about the second suda. And the Mar brings another Brisa that seems to say this beferish, that everybody agrees that the first one is a mitzvah, whereas the second one, that's where the machlekes is. Then the Gemara quotes a Brisa that Reb Shimon said, any suda which is not a sudas mitzvah, Tamachalim shouldn't partake from such a suda. And the Gemara gives examples: if a bas kayin marries a Yisrael, or a bas tamachokam marries an Amoret, so these are things that are not a sudas mitzvah, and a tamachokam should stay away from them. Like Rabbi Yochanan says, if a bas kayin marries a Yisrael, the marriage won't end up good, and the Gemara explains that means, according to the first opinion, she'll either be widowed, divorced, or she won't have children. And the Brisa explains that either she'll die young, or he'll die young, or they'll become very poor. Right, the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan said, if someone wants to become rich, he should marry to the kuna, because then the Torah plus the kuna together, that schus will help them become rich. The Gemara says it's not a kasha. A tamachokam who marries in, that's good for them. But an amaret who marries into kuna, because he's not ready for it, so then it's bad, it's detrimental. On that, the Gemara brings a bunch of stories. Rabbi Shua married a bas kohen, he got sick, and he said, the reason why I got sick is because I married a bas kohen. On the other hand, Rav Edi Bar Oven married a bas kohen, and because of that, he was zeichet to two children who had smicha, which was Rav Sheshet Bar Rav Edi and Rav Yeshua Bar Rav Edi. Rav Papa as well married a bas kohen, and he said, because of that, that's the only reason why I became rich. But on the other hand, Rav Kahana said, if had I not married a Bas Kohen, I wouldn't have had to go to Golos. Because even though he went to a Makom Torah, but the reason why he went is because he was fleeing for his life, the government wanted to execute him, and then he said, the only reason why I had to go into Golos is because I married a Bas Kohen. Then the Gemara says, anybody is in the henna from who partakes in a suda, so a shosa suda, that's not a suda's mitzvah, that causes him to go to Golos. The Gemara brings a brisa that a Talmud Chacham who parties too much and has too many sudas, so that's going to cause his house to be destroyed because he's going to have too many debts and he's going to be too busy owing money because of keeping up his minig. He's going to make his wife like a widow and his children like orphans because he's going to have to constantly chase his tithes. That's going to cause him to forget his learning and cause many machlokes in. No one's going to listen to him anymore, and it's going to be a chilul Hashem, and he's going to be an embarrassment for his Rebbe and for his parents, and he will cause a bad name for himself and his children. We said, what is this bad name that he's going to cause? Because everybody's going to call him the children of people who just cook up food all day, or a second shot, someone who dances in the pubs to make some money to afford the drinks that he needs. A third shot is they're going to give him a name that he's a person that constantly salts dishes to eat. Or a fourth thing is he falls asleep like a drunk, that they're not sober enough to go home. They just sleep wherever they fall asleep. Then the Gemara says a person should sell everything he has in order to afford to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, because this way he can guarantee that even if he dies, Rachman Son, or goes into Golos, his wife will raise the children as a Talmud Chacham. Whereas if he marries a Bas Amoret, so then if either of these things happen to him, then his children may grow up to be Amei Aretz. The brisa continues that a person should sell everything he has to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, because when he marries a Bas Talmud Chacham, that's a mashal to grapes with grapes, which is something that's beautiful and everybody likes. However, if he marries a Bas Amoret, that's taking the grapes and putting it together with the fruit of a thorn bush, which is disgusting and nobody wants to hear such things. Morris says a person should rather marry a Bas Talmud Chacham if he doesn't have a Bas Talmud Chacham, so then he should at least marry the Bas Gedolei Hadar, which means somebody who's big in mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. If he doesn't have this, so then he should marry someone who's a Rosh Knesset in charge of the tzibur. If he can't find that, then he should do the daughter of a Gabbai Tzedakah. And if he can't do that, then the daughter of the ones that teach the Rebbeim, that teach the Tinoi Kishul Beis Rabbim. But that much for sure, he should not marry the daughter of an Amoretz, because the Amei Aretz are considered like abomination, like a Sheketz, and their wives are Shrotim because they don't keep Torah mitzvahs. And their daughters are, it says about them that it's like marrying a behemoth because they are Amoretz, they don't know anything, they're like, they have no heart, just like a behemoth. Then the Gemara says, Rebbe says that an Amoretz can't eat meat of because it says, Zayis teres ha-behemoth v'ayif, someone who learns Torah, then he's allowed to eat a behemoth v'ayif, someone who doesn't learn may not. Rebbe Elazar says an Amoretz could be stabbed on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains why stabbed and not shechted, because you don't even want to make a brach on Amoretz. And the Gemara explains further, Rabbi Elazar says that Amoretz, a person shouldn't walk together with him, because it says that Torah is the life of a person that gives a person long days. So an Amoretz who doesn't learn Torah, so he doesn't care about his life, so why should he care about anybody else's life? So he's suspected of murdering someone. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonasan, that an Amoretz should be ripped open like a fish from its back, which a person, the Gemara Chulin says, is ripped in such a way, he would be dead on the spot. Rabbi Kiva says, when I used to be Amoretz before I learned Torah, if they would have given me a Talmud Chacham, our hatred to them was so much that I would have bitten him like a donkey. And the Gemara explains that that's even worse than the bite of a dog, because this one breaks right through the bone. Rabbi Meir said, anybody who lets his daughter marry an Amoretz, it's like he's tying her up in front of a lion. Because just like a lion tramples and eats his prey without letting it die, so too the Amoretz beats up his wife and has relations with her without being mephiaser. Rabbi Eliezer says, if the Amoretz wouldn't need us for business and to take care of their affairs, they would kill us out. Rabbi Chia says, anybody who learns Torah in front of Amoretz is like someone who has relations with someone's arusa in front of him, because the Torah is Mayrasha Kilas Yaakov, which we dash and don't read Mayrasha as an inheritance, rather Mayrasha, it's like Chaisel's engaged, has Kedushin with the Torah. Then the Gemara says the hatred that Mayaretz have towards Talmid HaChacham is worse than the animosity that Goyim have towards Chaisel, and the wives of Mayaretz hate us even more than the Mayaretz themselves. And one level even higher than that is someone who used to learn and he separated from learning, so he hates Talmid HaChacham the worst of them all. Six halachas regarding Amoritz. You can't trust them with Eidus, and even if they come to say Eidus, we're not makabel the testimony from them. You don't trust them with secrets. You can't trust them to be appointed as apotropos caretakers for Yisraelim, or to be in charge of the tzedakah funds. And you don't walk with them like on the road, like we said before. Others add a seventh thing, that if an Aveda of an Amoritz doesn't have to be announced to be returned. The Tanakhama didn't say that, because even if the Amoritz himself doesn't deserve it, but maybe you have children that are at tzaddik, so, and they'll inherit it from him, therefore the Aveda should be returned. That which the Mishnah had a machloikis, if you go back for the Shir of a Kezias or a Shir of a Kebeya, is that to say that a mayor says that it's not chashuv until it's a Kebeya, and according to Abuda, it's chashuv already when it's a Zayas? Didn't we learn the exact opposite with regard to Birkas HaMazon, that we said that the Shir of Zimun and Birkas HaMazon, according to a mayor, is a Kezias, and according to Abuda, is a Kebeya? So Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, it's Taka's theory, and one of them has to be flipped around. Abaye says, no, it's not a theory, because the two things are not dependent on each other. Over there, it's a machlokes in Psukim. It says, v'achalta v'salvata uv'irachta. Remeir holds, v'achalta means you should eat, v'salvata you should drink. So the Torah didn't say how much you should eat. Stam achil is always a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, v'achalta v'salvata means an eating that brings to sviya, to being satisfied, which is a minimum of a kebeya. Whereas over here, it's only a Darabonin, and they're arguing in Svarah. Remeir says that the Takana Darabonin of going back, they pattern after the Shir of Tumah, just like the Shir of Tumah, to be Metame, other things, is a Kebeya. So too, you're only Mechuyif to go back for a Kebeya. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that, no, they patterned it after Israel, just like the Israel of eating Chametz or eating Kosher that became Pasul is a Kezayis, so too, you have to go back on the Shir of a Kezayis.